Now, on to reflections of the Derrell Brooks Jr. trial, where a jury found Brooks guilty 3 weeks ago, sentenced earlier this week to 6 lifetimes behind bars, consecutively served, all from the 6 dead and dozens injured after Brooks drove his SUV through the Waukesha Christmas parade last year. Here's Waukesha County District Attorney Sue Opper at a news conference following the verdict.
There is much healing ahead for the victims and for our community, but we hope today's result is a step further along that path.
We welcome your thoughts on how Waukesha is moving forward and reflections on this trial. Join us at any time, 1-800-642-1234. What are you feeling this morning? 800-642-1234, or email us ideas@WPR.org. Our guest, Quinn Clark, community reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Quinn, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, would you take us through the sentencing earlier this week, the impact statements that were made and the impact they had on the judge's decision for the sentence?
Sure, yeah. So on Tuesday, about 40 people had impact statements prepared, either to be read in court or they were reading them there. Everyone kind of took the chance to finally be able to say how they felt during. I think that we've kind of come to a consensus that Brooks has spoken a lot during this trial and he's had a lot of time to speak, especially representing himself. So people were able to have that chance to finally say, this is how I was impacted. And they were also able to highlight, yes, this happened a year ago, but sometimes it feels like it happened yesterday because of the recurring nightmares and PTSD and injuries. So it really showed that it's a long lasting impact and it's far from being over and far from not having an impact on the Waukesha community anymore.
Yeah. How did that hit? What did it feel like to hear those? I mean, it was overwhelming.
Right. I will say, I think that I did have to step out of the courtroom after Sherry Sparks, Jackson Sparks' mother, read her impact statement because she revealed that not only is she missing her 8-year-old son who passed in the tragedy. Her son, Tucker, suffers with survivor's guilt because he feels he could have done more to protect Jackson from being hurt in the parade. So just hearing that really hit me hard. And I don't think there was a dry eye in the courtroom.
Except for perhaps Derrell Brooks Jr. What was his reaction to these impact statements?
Yeah, that is a good point. He definitely was rolling his eyes a couple times, just sarcastically clapping after some people's statements. And he also was reading his Bible too during. So it didn't look like he was actively listening. And it was a little shocking to see the rolling his eyes. I wasn't sure if he meant to do it at first, just because of how shocking that kind of reaction is to those emotional statements. But he did not seem like he was really actively listening at all.
Quinn Clark, our guest, community reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and then take us to the judge issuing the sentence to Derrell Brooks Jr., which amounts to, as I understand it, more than 1,200 years behind bars as it now stands?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell us about the judge here.
So during her final remarks, I think that it became a really emotional full circle moment. At times, she spoke directly to victims that were in the gallery, like Tyler Pudliner, a student in the Waukesha South Marching Band that was very badly injured in the parade attack. She told him, you know, you are a phoenix rising from the ashes, and said to his mother, clearly you have a phoenix for a son. She called out the extreme dance group and said, thank you to the coach for your emotional testimony and your impact statement. So people felt that personal connection to the judge before she gave her sentencing. And again, a very emotional moment. And when she did read off the sentences for those who died in the attack, the 6 deceased victims, the gallery erupted into applause for each. And she did allow that for those sentences. So it was a full circle moment and very emotional.
The judge became emotional at one point too, didn't she?
Yes, she did. And I can't blame her for that. As much as you know, reporters, for example, they do try to remain, you know, neutral. It was really hard not to show emotion when, especially thinking about Tucker and Jackson Sparks.
Quinn Clark, our guest, community reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who covered the trial of Derrell Brooks Jr. And we welcome your questions, comments, your feelings and reactions this morning. Whatever we take to get to healing, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, where Tony in Sturgeon Bay is standing by. Tony, good morning. You're on the air with Quinn Clark.
Morning. Good morning. I watched a lot of the trial online streaming, and I just wanted to commend Judge Doral for her courage, because she was so battered by the defendant, and it was like watching domestic violence played out on live TV, and she really stood her ground and was patient and I think doggedly determined to make sure that this case did not end up being overturned in the appellate court. So she extended the defendant so many liberties that were, you know, just beyond comprehension. But I think she did a fabulous job, and this was probably the high point and yet the low point in her judicial career.
Tony, I appreciate the perspective. And Quinn, the defendant represented himself at this trial. What defense did Brooks present to the jury, if any?
Brooks attempted to try to make people question how detectives and how people were 100% sure that it was Brooks behind the wheel, if they were sure there was no one else in the SUV. He just was attempting to create some doubt within the jury. And then I'm sure if anyone who was watching could say that he was disrupting Judge Doro and disrupting the trial as much as he could in order to prolong it and cause either a mistrial or cause being able to appeal the case afterwards as much as he could.
How would repeatedly disrupting the proceedings lead to any sort of opportunity for appeal for this defendant?
He was trying to create disruption and chaos to the point where he was trying to make Judge Doro, the prosecution, create any kind of slip up that he could later call out on. You know, I didn't get the chance to say this, or they didn't tell me the grounds for this objection. So I think he was just trying to create as much doubt and confusion as he could.
We're talking about the trial, the conviction, and sentencing of Derrell Brooks Jr. He was found guilty 3 weeks ago and earlier this week sentenced to 6 consecutive lifetimes behind bars for his attack on the Waukesha Christmas Parade last year. Journal Sentinel reporter Quinn Clark has been covering the trial, and she joins us along with your questions and comments, whatever you're feeling this morning, at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. The judge removed Brooks from the courtroom numerous times. His case put a spotlight on bail practices in our state, became part of the politics leading up to the election, and may have highlighted some gaps in our criminal justice system. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234. Conversation continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn. Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Darrow allowed Derrell Brooks Jr. to act as his own attorney at trial, where juries convicted Brooks on all counts for the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack. The 6 victims ranged in age from 8 to 81, and Derrell Brooks has been sentenced to more than 1,200 years behind bars. And there's still time to talk about the tragedy and what you took from this verdict at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Quinn Clark stays with us. And Quinn, what stays with you from this trial? Where does the healing go from here? Where is Waukesha as a community this morning?
I think after the tragedy, people had the opportunity to attempt to heal in any way that they could by the community coming together and supporting one another. But unfortunately, the trial and all of the national attention that has been brought to it has really brought up old wounds and made things more fresh. So I think after this trial, this is when the real healing can begin. Speaking to business owners in downtown Waukesha who witnessed the SUV hit people and witnessed, you know, the wreckage of the parade attack, they remember it like it was yesterday. And they remember things like cleaning victims' blood off of their shop windows. So I think that this is when the real healing can begin, because this national attention will begin to die down, and they know that Daryl Brooks doesn't have any chance to leave prison.
Yeah. Let's listen to Waukesha County Assistant District Attorney Zach Wichow during the trial's opening arguments here.
It sounds corny, but I think you'll see from the videos, there was a true sense of joy in the air. Daryl Brooks killed that joy. Replaced it with terror, trauma, and death.
Quinn Clark, how did the prosecution go about making its case against the defendant?
I think that the prosecution created a great and trustworthy relationship with victims of the tragedy. A lot of victims mentioned how much they appreciated the prosecution and how close they became with them. So I think that they created a lot of trust, and they just showed the details as they were. This is a community in mourning, and this is many, many people with lasting impact from this. So I think they just appealed to human emotion, and they didn't get too technical about, you know, where was Brooks during this time and where was the vehicle during this time to prove that there was another that there wasn't another person in the car. Yes, that was a part of the trial. Yes, they did look back at security camera footage. And yes, they did speak to detectives. But a large part of this was just showing this is a community in mourning, and this is a really lasting impact on people who lost loved ones. And those who were injured are still dealing with those injuries today.
And before the trial, Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Jennifer Darrow warned Brooks about outbursts after several in the pretrial hearings. Here she is.
At trial, what's going to happen if you continue to do that is you will be admonished in front of the jury.
That's fine.
If you continue that.
That's fine.
Quinn, how about Brooks's representation of himself? How about his defense? What stuck out for you?
What definitely stuck out for me is that he was able to confidently cross-examine people that he hit with a U.S. SUV, and just seemed to show absolutely zero remorse. That is something very jarring to witness, especially when someone is on the stand talking about their injuries or talking about their loved ones being severely hurt, and then he cross-examines them directly after. I also think it's notable that he also attempted to create some doubt that he was abusive to his ex-girlfriend. Cross-examining her and also calling her to the stand just showed that he really does not take accountability for his actions.
Did he show any remorse? Did he ever offer an apology of any kind?
During his very final statement before Judge Darrow sentenced him, he began an apology, which I was surprised to hear. He said, "I am sorry to the community," but he quickly followed that by saying, "But I'm also sorry that you don't see all the tears that I've cried and you don't see how much I've prayed." So he immediately turned it back on himself, pretty much voiding the apology. He also said sorry to his ex-girlfriend, and he quickly followed that by saying, "It takes two." So there were no sincere apologies there.
We're talking about the Waukesha Christmas Parade tragedy and the trial to Darrell Brooks Jr. with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Quinn Clark. And Quinn, what's the testimony that you will not forget from this trial?
I think the testimony that the first day I was covering the trial, I did have a colleague also there with me, and we switched off sometimes. But when I was there, I will never forget one of the dancing grannies. She spoke about her relationships with the other dancing grannies and the ones that were murdered in the attack. And Just thinking of the innocent act of those grannies coming together, driving to practice every day, and working so hard on that routine just to bring joy to the community, for this to happen, it's just, it will really stick with me to think about that, that kind of juxtaposition between an innocent act of them practicing a dance and performing, and then the car just plowing through.
Tell us what happens next in this case. Do we expect appeals from the convicted, and what are you following up on?
I think I want to give the community a break and let them heal for a little bit. They've been really, they've been spoken to by the media a lot, and they've been under a lot of stress. I just want to give them the chance to relax for a second. I think that if Brooks does file for appeal, there's absolutely no chance that anything will come out of it. But currently he is facing charges in Milwaukee, still in trial, for his domestic violence against his ex-girlfriend. So he is still doing that, and I'm not currently covering that trial, but I hope that Waukesha has the time to heal and not be under the eyes of the media for a little bit.
Hey, Quinn, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Quinn Clark, community reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and she covered the weeks-long trial of Darrell Brooks Jr. in the Waukesha Christmas Parade tragedy, culminating with a sentencing earlier this week, which saw six consecutive life sentences for the defendant. And as Quinn mentioned, there may be appeals to come, but those may be difficult hurdles ahead for the convicted. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.